A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came with his disciples into the house. Again the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The Gospel of the Lord. We celebrate today the feast of Timothy and Titus, who were leaders of Christian communities in the early church. The liturgy gives us an unusual story about Jesus' family, who at one point at least viewed his behavior as so strange that they concluded he must have been out of his mind. Jesus had just been on the mountaintop where he had chosen the 12 for the preaching of the good news. Immediately he took them into the thick of things and showed them that this preaching would be no glory ride. They could count on meeting resistance even among family members. There would be people who would tell them to relax, to take their time, to slow down and be sensible. It seems that zeal is often mistaken for frenzy. Unfortunately, there is sometimes justification for such concern. There are cultic leaders even today who manipulate people with unstable personalities, as well as some people who are naively sincere. These leaders demand unquestioning obedience and lead people into unhealthy, even dangerous choices. Jesus, however, was no cultic leader. He never asked his followers to give up their God-given human gifts of intelligence and discernment. He did, however, feel an urgency for the preaching of God's reign. Perhaps he sensed that he didn't have much time to proclaim that reign and to form a community to continue the proclamation when he was gone. So, while some thought him crazy, he gave himself tirelessly to the mission that was his, and he asked that same commitment of his disciples. It was a community of preachers he formed, disciples who would learn from him everything he had to offer. Nothing was more important than the proclamation of the gospel. Paul understood this as he traveled the known world, forming communities of believers. It was in this spirit of zeal and urgency that the next generation of preachers, including Timothy and Titus, were to be formed. Opposition will always be part of what the preacher faces, but he or she can rely on the Spirit of God to inflame their hearts and animate them for the preaching. We stand on their shoulders, just as they stood on the shoulders of other early disciples, including some family members. In every age, this zeal for the gospel must be reclaimed. We see it in Dominic, who continued to fan into flame the gift of God given him even when his listeners were not moved. We see it in the communities of the holy preaching who carried the message throughout Europe and eventually to Latin America, to the Far East, to Iraq, to Africa, wherever the Spirit led them. Now the proclamation has been entrusted to us. It is too important to put it under a bushel basket or to set it on a shelf in hopes that there may be a more opportune moment for speaking God's word. Where do we sense an urgency for the Word of God to be preached fearlessly? That is where we need to be. Where are the communities of disciples who will carry the gospel in spite of hardship or opposition? They are the ones who need our encouragement. Where do we find preachers so committed that they turn people's heads, even if only to evoke that age-old dictum, they are out of their minds? Indeed, when did we last find ourselves on fire, driven by the Spirit of God to speak a word of grace and mercy, of justice and truth, of peace and promise? Zeal for the gospel has nothing to do with age or numbers of preachers available, so these can never be used as an excuse to avoid the preaching. Rather, it's about an urgency that the Word of God be heard by the countless people who hunger for the message of hope the gospel offers. It is always the right time for this, and we are the people God has called now. It's never too late.